But the leader of the woman is the man, and the leader of Christ is God. Now, skeptics attack us with a certain declaration of inferiority which they derive from these words against the Son, but they trip over their own views. For if the man is the leader of the woman, and the leader is of the same essence as the body, and the leader of Christ is God, then the Son is of the same essence as the Father. No, they argue, we don't mean to show that he is of another essence, but rather that he is under control. So how should we respond to this? First off, when anything humble is said about him, as he is united with the flesh, it doesn't degrade the divine nature in what is said, due to the acceptance of the role. But still, how do you plan to prove this from the passage? Just as the man rules over the woman, they claim, so does the Father over Christ. Therefore, as Christ governs the man, so does the Father over the Son. For the leader of every man, we read, is Christ. And who would ever agree to this? For if the Son's superiority to us is the standard for the Father's superiority to the Son, consider to what lowliness you'll reduce him. Hence, we shouldn't judge all things based on ourselves and God, even if the language used about them is similar. Instead, we should assign to God a certain unique excellence, as much as is appropriate to God. Otherwise, many absurdities will follow. As such, the leader of Christ is God, and Christ is the leader of the man, and he of the woman. Therefore, if we choose to take the term leader in the same sense in all the clauses, the Son will be as distant from the Father as we are from him. Indeed, the woman will be as distant from us as we are from the Word of God. And what the Son is to the Father, this we are to the Son, and the woman is to the man. And who would accept this?